welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 197 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I'm good. You're sounding very bright and sprightly.
I'm trying to get into it.
I can feel it.
It's the fire. I'm trying not to fall asleep desperately because you've got the fire on.
You just take your kit off.
It's spring. It's like 13. It's 9 degrees out, but it's warm. You don't need the fire.
I thought that a log fire would be atmospheric.
And these things are bad now, did you know?
Everything's bad. As soon as I bought a diesel car because they said it was better for the mileage.
I know.
Now it's doctors against
diesel. I don't know what's worse, this or a gas boiler, actually, but I've got a wood burner. I love it, but particulates and all that stuff, apparently these things are really bad for that stuff. For all that, if you believe in air quality.
Well, they were supposed to be carbon neutral, weren't they? That's the whole selling point.
Apparently they are carbon neutral, which I was wondered about, but they are because it's a renewable source of trees can grow again.
So
quickly.
That's good.
Yeah. They're better for the environment. They're not good for if you want to breathe, basically.
Yeah, but what happened when the caveman invented fire? They didn't all run around gasping.
There weren't 10 billion cavemen lighting fires. That's the... anyway, we're talking about meditation this week, and it's not just Sean and I, as you may have guessed or may have heard. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ed. It's good to be here.
Chris from Clear Mind Cushion, which we're going to talk a little bit about. Before, because we're talking about meditation today. These two guys that I'm with are proper hardcore meditators. I've had a few false starts, including one this week, but I am going to get into it.
You're like Winston Churchill used to say, giving up cigarettes is dead easy. I do it 20 times a day. You're like that with meditation.
Maybe I've just been meditating my whole life. I've just got my own unique way of doing it. I don't know.
It's certainly unique.
Sean, how are you doing?
I'm very good.
Been up to much?
Very good. I think the highlight of my week since we last spoke was there's a new Indian restaurant opened in Liverpool called Mowgli's.
So oh, yeah?
Shout out for them.
Well, I'm going in 2 weeks.
Are you? Oh, brilliant. But it's the closest to real Indian food I've eaten.
Wow.
Most food that you eat in Britain under the Indian title is either Pakistani or Bangladeshi.
Okay.
Yeah, but this was real Indian food. It's good. It's real street food.
Well, I know quite a bit about the lady that runs it and the company,
right.
Mowgli. Is it Mowgli?
That's it.
There's two of them now. One in Manchester, one in Liverpool, I think.
No, there's two in Liverpool. There's one in, is it Broad Street? And one down the bottom. The
Bold
new
Street.
One, so Bold Street, that's right. No, there's one down the bottom.
The new one, my good friend Laurie, she did the interior design on it.
Oh, right.
We were sharing off, well, not sharing, she's in the same building as me.
Oh, right, well. We were actually all in there yesterday going, wow, look at the interior design, isn't it amazing?
Ah, Crave ID.
Shout out for her. Yeah, good.
.net.
That's good.
Yeah, they did that. But I think they're opening another one soon as well, somewhere.
Yeah, no, I think there's Manchester and then there's the two in Liverpool, I think.
Anything you recommend? What did you have?
The most amazing thing is they do tiffin pots, do you know what I mean, where you've got lots of little tins.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, because I'm a veggie, so I go for the vegetarian tiffin pot, so it's mama's choice. So you don't know what you're going to get in there. But it's amazing. It was absolutely beautiful. Amazing. And there was the most wonderful curry with paneer in it. You know the
paneer, isn't that?
It's cheese. It's like a halloumi. Okay. But it's softer than halloumi. It's kind of sexy.
I think when I go there, I'm going to just ask for what they recommend rather than looking at the menu. I'm just going to say, what should I have? It seems like that kind of place.
Yeah. But the food was incredible. And four of us had a meal like we couldn't eat at all. Two courses, couldn't eat at all. And it came to £65 with drinks.
Not too shabby.
Four of us, that's what it was. Pretty good,
yeah. Not too bad.
So I'm shouting out Mowgli. Just make sure I get a free meal next time I come.
Mowgli, we'll put a link in the, if I remember to, in the show notes.
No, it was lovely, really good.
Mm-hmm. Cool, I'll let you know how we go. Chris, how you doing? You okay?
I'm very well, thank you, yeah.
Thanks for coming across today.
You're welcome.
When you're not talking about meditation cushions, which we'll come on to admit, what's your everyday life?
What do you get up to? I'm a safety advisor in construction. So I try to help the team focus on making sure we do everything we should do from a health and safety point of view.
Yep.
So, because everyone's very busy, they've all got their own sort of like demands on their time and their attention. And sometimes things like safety, because we all naturally think that things don't go wrong for us. Yeah, accidents happen to other people, or,
yep.
or maybe on our project, but not the one we're on. Sometimes these safety things get a bit left behind, but they're super important. Everyone knows they're important, but you know, maybe not urgent until there's been an accident.
Uh-huh.
So my role is to try and keep a focus on that and help out in sort of spotting problems and trying to help people come up with strategies to overcome them. Which is why the UK has the lowest accident rate pretty much in the world.
Really?
Except for a couple of other countries. Well, no, it's because we actually, you know, we have all this legislation and we actually enact it.
So is that IOSH and NEBOSH and...
That's right.
Oh, that lot.
Yeah, so that's what I do for a living.
Yeah.
Very good. Which seemingly, you mentioned a couple of words there, like focus and, well, safety, I guess, as well. But we're talking about meditation today. You are the, can I say inventor? Is that the right word?
Or the inventor, yes, I suppose I am.
Yeah. You're hanging around with engineers a lot, I guess, as well. Are you an engineer?
I'm a chartered engineer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've developed the Clear Mind cushion.
I have.
Haven't you? Which we're going to send everyone a link in our email, and it's on the website as well, clearmindcushion.com, where you can find out all about it. If you happen to put self-help into the discount box as well, you will get a nice little 10% discount. We're going to try and encourage you to do that in the next half hour or so.
And we need to encourage everybody to be meditating.
Well, that's right. So we're going to talk about the cushion and meditation in general, because I need a bit of help there. But tell us your story then, Chris. How did you get from engineering into creating this cushion?
Well, I've been meditating for years, like 20 years or so. And in that time, I've used quite a few different types of cushion, because there are quite a few around. But towards the beginning of last year, so like January last year, I was getting more and more frustrated with the cushion that I had, because it wouldn't stay where I wanted it to. I kept on having to get off it and fluff it, puff it back up again, and then sit down on it. And although it was like a traditional cushion filled with grain, it was actually quite hard as well. It was uncomfortable, so I kept on having to shift, and it. You know,
meditation, you'd be shifting around.
And that's not what you want, because you want to try and close off and forget about your normal external world for a start, and especially your body. So it's very important to have a comfortable posture. So I got to a point where I just thought there must be a better cushion than what I can see. So I went on, and I thought, I know exactly what it needs to look like. So I went on Amazon to buy one, because everything's on Amazon. And I was looking, I couldn't see anything like what I had in mind.
Yep.
So, like I said, being an engineer and also having a background in safety, I also know a lot about ergonomics, because ergonomics is a big thing. So, you know, people who are using computers for a long time, or people at checkouts.
Yep.
You know, if the ergonomics isn't right, then these people pick up, you know, life-changing conditions.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all part of my experience. So I brought all this together, and I thought, well, what the cushion I need is an angled cushion. Is to get a good meditation posture, you need an angled pelvis. You need a good upright posture. And it needs to be comfortable.
Yep.
And ideally not shift around. So I thought, well, what I need is this kind of cushion, made of foam probably, something like that, that would, you know, promote a good posture. I couldn't find it. So I thought, right, I'll make one.
I'm onto something.
So I made this cushion. And it went through a lot of iterations, but I've made this cushion. It's great. I guess we'll put some photos.
We will, yeah. I mean, it's kind of heart shaped ish, isn't it?
It's heart shaped. It's about the normal size of a normal meditation cushion. But it's heart shaped with the point going to the front.
Mm.
I suppose it's about like 6 inches thick at the back.
Bicycle seat, I think. That's how I kind of saw it initially.
You said it was like a saddle, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a saddle.
I like that on my bike, actually.
On the back edge, it's about 6 inches high.
Yeah.
But then the top edge, the top surface slopes down as you get towards the front.
Mm.
And this is, the idea of that is to try and get a good posture for your pelvis and your spine.
Yeah.
So,
but it's immediately obvious when you see it. in the flesh how what it's for and where to sit, really, isn't it?
But there are other cushions that do that, but the difference is that with my cushion...
We're so British people, we're so embarrassed about flogging our wares, aren't we?
Very briefly, towards the front, the cushion then goes back up again. So as you're sitting, instead of sliding forwards like can happen on other cushions, you're cradled, basically, in a well. The cushion itself is made of foam, and there's a layer of memory foam on top, so everyone goes crazy for
it. But that lower foam is quite hard, isn't it? Which is good, that's good solid.
Well, that gives the posture.
Good base.
Yeah. And then the memory foam on top, I mean, it moulds to your shape, it moulds because of the heat of your body, it moulds. So, and what that does is it reduces any stress, any pressure concentrations. So when you're on a hard cushion, you've got a lot of concentration of pressure on your sit bones.
Yeah,
but with a layer of memory foam, it spreads that quite nicely.
Clever.
So, so there you go. So is that?
That's a good explanation of it. Yeah,
not terribly easy on a podcast, but that's more or less what it looks like.
I've resisted meditation for
100 years, I think.
Forever, really. Yeah. Did when you started meditating, both of you, when you started, did you have a cushion initially? It's not something you need, is it? Obviously, but. Do you wish going back then, if you didn't have a cushion, did you wish I had a cushion to kind of get me into it? Or
well, I started off sitting on a chair, in a group when I was 10, 11, and I was only when I was 22 that I discovered that there were things called meditation cushions. I've been meditating throughout that time,
right.
It's sat in a traditional British sort of dining chair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need a cushion to meditate at all. I mean, you can sit in a normal chair, provided you have got an upright posture, a comfortably upright spine.
Yep.
That's your key thing. There are advantages to sitting on the floor in a meditation posture with a proper meditation cushion, and it is very, very comfortable. But a lot of people can't do that. Yeah, for whatever reason, past injuries or stiffness or whatever. So, the first thing to say is if you want to begin or start meditating, you don't need a cushion. But if you do use a cushion, then getting the right one, very important.
Really important. Mm. Yeah, this is something you're going to do every day, maybe multiple times a day forever.
I'm on a dispute here. It's like when you go on a on a meditation retreat, it's a sea of cushions.
Mm.
And people will use them differently to accommodate their own shape. But for me, the difference in sitting in a cushion with my legs either in a half lotus, as we were just doing, or in a Burmese position with one foot in front of the other, is so amazingly comfortable that the ability to meditate changes. And it's completely different to sitting in a chair.
For me.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I mean, I've always sat on a cushion, thankfully, because my knees are okay and my thighs are okay, my hips are okay. And it's incredibly comfortable. There is a reason that when you see experienced meditators meditating, they tend to be on cushions. There is a reason for that. But you can meditate lying down. You can meditate on a chair.
One of the things I was always taught was that you have to have your head free. So I was always, I could lie down if I was doing a relaxation, but I'd have to sit up that my neck wasn't supported.
The ideal meditation posture is a posture where you have the seat is angled so that it's slightly higher at the back than the front.
Yeah.
Your spine is upright, your head is nicely balanced on top of your neck. Your eyes are looking down, mostly closed, maybe closed, but usually slightly open is better. And your legs crossed, and your right hand in your left hand, comfortably sat in your lap. That's the classic.
Yep. And as you said earlier on, before we came on, one of your sons likes to use it to play his Xbox as well.
If I'm wondering where my cushion is in the morning, I just have to look around and head towards the Xbox because he doesn't do any meditation, but he sits on it because it's comfortable.
He's got good posture whilst playing whatever game he's playing, hats off. Yeah.
Posture is very, very important.
Yeah.
If you see unfortunate older people around in town, and you see them, they're bent over, they're very hunched, and they didn't get like that overnight.
No.
You know, it's a steady process over 10 or 20 years where they've been hunched forward or leaning forward or bent forward, and slowly, year by year, it gets worse and worse. And if you want to end up in, in an old body which is in good condition with, you know, with good joints, and you know, then it's very important to keep a good posture right now.
Yep, sure. I'm sure our friend Belinda at Pain Care Massage, she
would be
interested in seeing this, actually, wouldn't she, in terms of posture and keeping loosey-goosey as you head towards your twilight years.
I find that sitting on a cushion like that, with legs in that crossed-over position, with a small table, I can quite happily work like that.
Yes.
It's quite a nice position to sit in.
Well, this is how, you know, babies, kind of toddlers, when they sit.
Yeah.
They sit cross-legged with a nice erect spine.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, they, this is natural.
Yeah, just a couple of days ago.
So this is what we're trying to ape, isn't it, in our older age. We're trying to mimic this very natural, healthy posture.
But then when you live in a country where they don't have chairs, they have a raised platform to sit on, they actually sit down on cushions, and not only is people's posture better, but their ankles, their knees and their hips work properly because they move up and down, whereas we don't exercise our lower limbs properly. Just sitting in chairs.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
I watched a great movie last week. Well, a few of them, actually. It was a bit of a rainy weekend, so we just stayed in, just watched movies, all like the family. It's called Kubo, animated film from last year. It's like Japanese folklore tale. Amazing movie. But yeah, it was set in Japan, kind of years gone by. But yeah, Will was asking me why everyone was sitting around having dinner and they weren't sitting at a table and chair, they were just laying things on the floor, you know, and sitting kind of straight back on their knees almost. Yeah. He was asking me, why aren't they sitting at a table and chairs, Daddy? And I'm like, that's just the way they do it over there. And,
those guys. I wonder why we started using chairs. That's an odd thing now I think about it, because we could have just had cushions on the floor, couldn't we? Why didn't we?
I don't know.
Is there a culture we... I don't know.
Maybe to get out of the draft, perhaps.
I'm going to move it on a little bit more to general chat about meditation now. Because I need you to sell it to me, you guys. So, Sean, what got you into meditation initially?
Mine's a weird one, because it goes back to my dear old dad.
He wasn't a big meditator, I think.
No, he wasn't. I was sent away for the summer to my aunt's house in Broadstairs, and she was a spiritualist medium, and they used to have a circle at her house. So when I go there in the summer, 10, 11 onwards, I would go and sit in circle with this guy called Bob Markland, who was the teacher, and we did spiritualist visualized meditations. And that was my first introduction to meditation, which is a kind of an odd way to come at it, really.
But stuck.
There's something that is so amazingly comfortable about being in that meditative space. It's like being hugged by the universe somehow. It's like, at that point, it's like nobody wants anything, nobody needs anything, there's no kind of judgment, there's no barriers, it's just a perfect place of just being, which becomes almost indescribable. I'm not quite sure of words that describe it, but it's extraordinary. And every time when I do a meditation, like in the morning, I come down here, we do yoga together, and then I go and meditate.
Me and you.
And Rena.
Someday, maybe.
Yeah, one day. there's something about when I've meditated, when I open my eyes, the world is so clear. It's like someone's tuned it in, and the focus is extraordinary, the detail. Which wears off during the day. I lose that, but at that moment it's like, wow, it's as though I've never seen that thing before. It's quite odd, quite good, quite
that's
lovely.
Probably about the time I get a text from you every morning, isn't it? I need to see you, Ed. We got to record a show, Ed. Okay, now that's pretty good, Sal. How about you and Chris? When did you get into meditation, and what stage of life were you at?
I've been meditating since I was a kid, on and off.
My parents have got a lot to answer for. I didn't get into it. It wasn't an option for me at all.
Well, my parents didn't meditate. You know, okay. It was just one of those... it's just a natural kind of interest, I suppose. None of my friends were interested in anything like that. But I used to meditate when I was a kid, and I saw, you know, some things on telly where you see people in the East and they're meditating or whatever, and I was just drawn to it. It just seemed, they seemed so peaceful, you know, they seemed so content. I was kind of seduced by this, so I started doing that kind of thing myself with no instruction, but, you know, just breathing, that kind of thing. I felt nice. And then later on you find some books, and I found a book that just talked about relaxing the body, so lying on your back, and then you relax your toes, and I can still remember it. So you relax your toes like the tendons are like a piece of elastic that have gone all loose, and you work your way up your body, and sure enough, if you do it systematically, your body feels completely different. You know, very, very remarkably different. And then, of course, you start doing sort of breathing meditation as well, and that transformation happens in your mind. So your mind feels very different, very spacious, very relaxed. And instinctively, we know, I think, that peace is something that is beneficial. So it always strikes me, you know, when someone passes away, and you're on the gravestone, what do you write? You write, "Rest in peace." So what are we wishing for someone for the rest of eternity? You know, we don't say rest with excitement. You know, we say rest in peace.
I want that line.
So deep down we know that peace is something that is what we ultimately want. So when you do meditation and you calm your mind, you stop your distractions, you experience an inner peace that is unrivaled. You can't get it anywhere else. It doesn't cost any money. It doesn't give you a hangover. There's nothing negative about it at all. So,
if anyone's got a direct hotline to Donald Trump, he sounds like he could do it a little bit. It'd be quite funny watching a guy like that actually try to just relax and do nothing for 60 seconds even. I wonder if he's capable of it, do you think?
Thinking they're holding on long enough to cut his hair, do you think?
while he's under. He's fallen asleep quick. So you get peace from it. You mentioned a few other things before you came on air as well, in terms of focus and concentration.
Well,
how often do you meditate?
Every day.
Is it once a day, just in the morning, or is this both?
Once a day in the morning. I'm sure we're discussing it. We meditate for about the same amount of time, about an hour.
Yeah. I might do meditations during the day as well with other people, like if I got clients doing it. Well, tonight I've just run a group, so we did a 20-minute, a 15-minute, and a 10-minute on different things.
I mean, I do like an hour in the morning, which is a mixture of breathing and just focusing on maybe something like loving kindness, like metta.
Yeah.
And Sean, you were mentioning earlier on.
Yeah.
So, and I so look forward to it. You know, I gave up drinking because it stopped me doing this. So I don't drink alcohol anymore. So that when I can get up in the morning, I'm fresh. I can just drop straight into focusing. If you've had a bit to drink the night before, it's not there. So it's worth.
So do you get up and about before the rest of your clan?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's five. Is it five of you in your?
There's five of us in our house. So it gets quite noisy. I'm up at. I'm starting at 6, and then the alarm upstairs, it goes off at 6:45. But no one really starts making noise until about 10 past.
Oh, nice snooze. I can't wait till I can snooze again. Can't wait till my kids are all everyone's snoozing.
But I think it's important if you're starting to meditate to find that quiet place in your day where genuinely, you know, there aren't any external sort of, because it's hard enough to gain control of your mind anyway. It's much harder if you've got things, people banging and knocking and moving things around. You can't help but wondering what they're up to. So you need to have that 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour of clear time just for you to focus, and it's awfully helpful. So,
I find with most things, because the day gets so busy and there's so much that needs to be done and things pop up, that if I don't do things in the morning, the day can eat time. So I'm much more comfortable getting up and doing. So normally, I mean, Reece come down and started doing yoga with me over the last few weeks. But normally I get up in the 5 o'clock time. There's no one's doing anything then, so it's my space.
Yeah. Is it, what time is it getting light now in the mornings? It's just...
Oh, it's early.
It's 6.
Yeah.
Is it? It helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's so nice as well, after a long winter.
Yeah.
To get up in the morning and it's
here
light.
Here comes the sun. Yeah. It was the birds this morning.
Oh, really?
From about... quarter to five onwards, they were kicking up Hell's Delight outside. Yeah, it's crazy.
But I mean, Ed, you were mentioning about what other benefits there are from meditation practice. So quite apart from it being just very, very pleasant, an experience anyway, and there aren't that many pleasant experiences around that don't have some kind of cost to them.
Mm-hmm.
So apart from that, it gives you like an inner peace that you can take with you in your normal daily activities. It helps you kind of attain more of a focused mind, because if you're training for like half an hour a day to focus on your breath, then what that means is you're used to the idea of focusing on things anyway.
Yep.
So when you want to focus on, you know, an essay or focus on preparing for a meeting, you find it easier to do it.
Or you know, if you're focusing on, if you're turning a lathe, you know, it's being able to focus where you are, isn't it? Or an artist, isn't it?
Well, this is why I think people do those things and find the enjoyment. Because if you're making woodwork, you're in the zone, aren't you? If you're climbing, you're in the zone.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the climbing or the painting or whatever.
It's the zoning.
It's being in the zone. Yeah. And this is how these people get into the zone, and it feels nice because they're focused.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what we're doing in meditation.
Yeah, you get that with runners too. They get the slap of the foot and it becomes metronomic, but also like a mantra.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my favourite part of the day now, probably in the work week, is the cycle to work, actually, because it's... Well, you've got to concentrate as a cyclist, because I'm on a busy-ish route, so I've got to make eye contact with every single car that's trying to turn out onto the the road that I'm cycling down. But it's a really nice 20 minutes, 25 minutes of just peace and quiet, where, you know, my phone isn't buzzing or I haven't got emails coming in. It's not meditation, I guess, but maybe it's a little glimpse of what I'm missing out on.
I think it's along the same kind of theme, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
You also mentioned compassion as well. It can kind of help breed a sense of compassion for the world.
Well, all your good human qualities you can train in meditation. So, you know, we talked about loving kindness, just having a beneficial attitude to other people. Some people are born with it anyway. Some people, but it can be quite unbalanced. Whereas if you focus on anything in meditation. You can focus on your breath. Is a standard one to go for. But you can focus on things like just imagining being a more generous, caring person and try it out. You imagine that you are a more caring, generous person. You imagine what it would feel like. And you can feel it in your heart. So in meditation you do that. You conjure this feeling. You become familiar with it. And then lo and behold, when you're out and about, you naturally feel these feelings arise towards people. You don't have to run around hugging them.
You know what I mean?
You don't have to change your outer behaviour. But what it means is when you're waiting in the bus queue, you can look at everyone else and think, oh yeah, we're all waiting, aren't we? You know, we're all the same really, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, we're all important. You know, these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these feelings arrive naturally. Through meditation, you become so familiar with them. You don't have to think, oh now I must practice loving kindness to this person.
Just you do it automatically without realising.
And then people think, oh, what a nice, kind person he is.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy, isn't he?
Yeah. He'll do.
Too nice.
In the NHS particularly, but in private companies as well, when I'm working with managers and I'm trying to get the managers to be mindful, the first thing I do is teach them to meditate. And you can tell the difference in the departments where the managers have learned to meditate. You can feel the difference in the atmosphere, difference in the morale of the staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In your work, Chris, then, without getting into health and safety law too much.
Understood, yeah. Okay.
But it's everything in health and safety, isn't it, in terms of having compassion for people around you? And
well, I give health and safety courses, and one of the things you try to slip in is the need that we need to look after each other. I mean, we're all in the same, let's say on a construction site, we're all in the same environment.
Yep.
And if we're not making sure things are safe that we're in control of, then they're posing a risk to ourselves and others. And the thing is that what I say to them actually is this: if we're eating a sandwich at lunchtime, we're very keen on the idea that the person preparing the sandwich followed good hygiene standards and complied with the law. We want the food to be served, at, you know, stored at the right temperature, prepared with clean implements, don't we? But we don't think that health and safety, we don't have to do anything. Why does it apply to me? We want everybody else to comply, but not everyone else.
Yeah.
So what I try to get over to them, just subliminally almost, is that it's everyone's responsibility and we can all play a part. If we all look after each other, then we're all looked after. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, almost a quote from you, Sean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. that's my thing. Where I get if it we from. All look yeah. after each other, we're all going to be okay. But that's true for the whole of humanity, isn't it? That's
it the does. Thing. Any group, yeah. it applies. Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a bit of work to do.
Well, I'm aware that today that we're rushing towards Brexit. I'm not a political person, particularly my only...
Oh, you're good, yeah, the fascism one we did the other week, you could tell you were right up for that one.
I was right fascist. The idea for me of people coming together makes sense. The idea of us breaking back down into separate groups doesn't work for me at all.
No.
And it gives me concern for the future.
I think the die is cast.
Yeah, yeah, there's nothing
to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I spent a lot of time last year on Facebook and Twitter and the news reading, getting more and more agitated, and then more disgusted at the result. And I've just decided I just need to disengage.
Yeah.
Because it had a really strong effect on my mind, this frustration. And seeing how other people were turning against each other over something that we have no real control over now.
I think that the other thing in that is that the people that will have to face the consequences of this are our children.
Well,
that as it feeds through, whatever those are, and they could be, they're going to look back and go, well, it's the best thing that ever happened. It doesn't appear that way from here for me.
Folks, yeah.
Well, yeah, people fear change. I think I'm fearing change. You know, because we've had it pretty good in lots of ways, and change threatens that. That's why people don't like change, isn't it? But, you know, my children are pretty kind of like, well, okay, that's what we've got to deal with now.
Yeah.
So let's get on with it. I think that's what we've got to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not what happens, it's how we respond to it that counts.
Very much so.
We'll do our own little bit here and there, hey, when we bumping into people in the street. Be nice to him.
I firmly believe as one door closes, another opens. You know, I'm sure doors will open.
Yeah, let's not go into politics anymore.
One of the things that was just rattling in my head was you talking about the effects of meditation. And I was thinking about Bob Proctor, and he always says, calm down and speed up. And I'm so aware of how people become so much more efficient when they're in that meditative, mindful space.
Yeah.
And they're able to do things in a calmer way, but actually more effectively, efficiently, and actually quicker.
Like a well-tuned engine, or an engine that's running on the expensive petrol, not the cheaper stuff that plugs it up.
Yeah. Well, slow is smooth, and smooth is fast.
Okay, so in terms of starting meditation, there are a few apps out there, aren't there? Where Headspace.com is one we've talked about quite a bit. We've got our own meditation files, livingthepresent.co.uk, that we people can, the morning and evening. Are they meditation files as such, or are they?
Yeah,
there
are. Yeah, they're kind of setting yourself up for the day.
Yeah,
It's my de-stressing at work stuff. The plan is when I get you to do some stuff to get this app working properly.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to beat you up when we go off it.
Slow and smooth, that's the way I'm doing it.
No. Slow down, calm down and speed up.
Okay.
Do your meditation. We hope to be putting together our own meditation program fairly shortly.
But I've got, I've been looking at Headspace. Calm.com is another one. Pretty cool stuff out there, and they've obviously had to create a business model around them now. So I did look, Headspace is £8 a month once you get in the swing of it.
Oh, is it?
So it's not,
that's not so bad.
It's not crazy money, but I mean, I was thinking initially, I thought, oh yeah, that's quite a bit of money, but then people spend so much on like a gym membership, don't they? I don't personally,
But people how much is a pint of beer?
30. A bottle of decent wine.
Yeah.
Half decent, maybe.
For a kind of clarity of mind and thought. And
it's all about value, isn't it? What value do you get for that £8? I think a lot of people get a lot of value out of that £8. Yeah. So for them, it's well worth spending.
Yeah. I mean, a big hero of mine, Jerry Seinfeld, a comedian, he's into his TM, Transcendental Meditation. Maharishi, what's his face?
Sounds very Indian name.
What's his face?
Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
That's the one. Yeah. Okay, he started all that stuff off, didn't he? Or started spreading the word big time. But one of the best things I heard Seinfeld talk about, what he gets from meditation, is the energy he gets from it. So he talks as well about kind of the peace and the tranquility, but also he gets this tremendous energy. So
that's what we say: calm down and speed up.
Yeah,
it's that energy of yeah. But you've got a clarity.
Mm.
You have a clear mind.
Clear that mind,
sounds familiar from somewhere.
I get it now.
You need a cushion.
Now I get it. I like it. All right, cool. So, yeah, I don't know which one I'm going to go with in terms of Headspace Calm or TM or...
Can they not give, like, a free month just tryout?
Headspace do, yeah.
Well, that's it. There's no need to do for that.
I love a play. And they kind of ease you into it as well, don't they? They kind of take 10 or take 5, take 10 and then...
You know, you start up with take 10. It's 10 minutes for 10 days.
Right.
It starts off.
Okay. I should just do Headspace, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should. Considering that we went to see them, we interviewed them, and they were on our podcast, and you know.
Back in the day, yeah. It's still one of our most successful episodes, that, don't you know?
So, Sean, for those people who haven't really heard what Headspace is like, what are the advantages of using like Headspace and guided meditation?
Headspace, the main advantages are that Andy is a good guy, he was a Buddhist monk, he was an experienced guy. He's set it up very well, he's had very good help and backing, so it's an amazingly easy to use system.
Right.
And it's very progressive, so it starts off with 10 minutes and it's guided, which is what we were just talking about earlier on, where it's like both you and I just meditate.
Silence.
Yeah, but when you begin, you need someone to. I always think of the person that's guiding you a bit like a shepherd, as your mind's wandering. They're kind of bringing your mind back into the fold, kind of thing. Yeah. Whereas once you're used to doing it, you don't need the voice in your head. It's a different experience that's going on.
Here we go. It's got an Apple Watch app as well, so I can even. I don't know.
You're sorted.
Yeah, I'm sorted.
Brilliant.
Sold. Okay, I've officially got the app on my phone, so.
All right, that's good. He's done it.
Halfway there.
Praise the Lord.
There you go, you're keen.
Yeah, not bad, eh? All right.
So, no, but the deal is, you as a beginner's mind with a beginner's bum are going to sit on this cushion.
Bum on that cushion, yeah.
And you are going to meditate every day, yes?
Yeah, I will.
Yes, yeah, you are, aren't you?
Yeah.
We have a commitment, yeah? And next week when we come back, you're going to tell us about your experience.
Tell you all about it, yeah. Yep. Start tomorrow morning. Yeah,
yep.
I will. Can I do it tomorrow morning? Yeah, I get up with Will. You can give him the iPad, he can chill out on that. I can go off and sit on the cushion for a bit. Can you watch the iPad while you're meditating?
So what time will you be up in the morning?
7:15. 7 o'clock, 7:15.
I'll ring you about 7:10.
I'll tell you what,
an important thing to do is to not check your Facebook beforehand.
Beforehand, to get the brain buzzing.
Don't check anything. Yeah. You get up in the morning, make yourself a cup of tea or something and take it with you. But resist the temptation to look on BBC News or whatever.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you do that, you're away. You know,
my process is up, pee, meditate.
Thank you.
That's the way it works. I thought you liked to know that.
Yeah, people like to know these things, don't they? I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to do it, folks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, you heard it here first.
Okay.
What if your hero, Mr. Seinfeld, does it?
If Jerry can do it.
Surely you should do it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, okay. Maybe one day I'll be as funny as him.
He'll be doing 20 minutes twice a day.
Do you reckon?
That's the way they work.
The TM guys.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Wonder when he slots it into his schedule of stand-up comedy and filming and all that. Be interesting to know.
Mm.
Might go over to New York and knock on his door. Ask him. Might get him on the show. That would be good.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I could go on his show. Yeah. Yeah. All right, should we wind it up then?
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Okay.
Obviously, we'll get to resources now, but before that, we'll mention the cushion. clearmindcushion.com. Hey, Chris.
That's my resource.
That's your resource.
Yeah, I've brought that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Three-dimensional resource.
Yeah, an actual something you can actually touch. Usually I just stick out YouTube videos, but this is brilliant. And if you put the code SELFHELP, all one word, into the... It's nice and loud and proud on the homepage, isn't it? The discount box.
Yeah.
10% discount.
Just for listeners of this podcast.
Which ain't too shabby. It's all right.
Very good.
So, yeah.
Very good.
If you do grab on, let us know your thoughts on it as well. Feedback and all that.
Yeah.
Have you got any resources?
Well, my resource has got to be Headspace, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Because we've pushed them a lot. We've done a lot with them.
They owe us a lot.
We've met the guys. They're good guys.
There'd be nothing
without
us.
It's a good system, and we need to get you doing it. So yeah. I'm going Headspace.
Okay.
My resource.
Cool, fair dues. I actually wanted to mention a movie, which isn't too related to meditation. But it's a powerful one nonetheless. It's called I, Daniel Blake. Which I think you'd said, Chris,
yeah.
You'd heard about it.
Yeah.
I think Ken Loach, he's the director, he won an award for it, but it's quite a hard-hitting movie, which I think everyone in Britain should, or whatever's left of Britain in the next few months, should watch, because it's quite an eye-opener in terms of what being on benefits can do to a person and the process of signing on and all that, and ticking all the right boxes and that. It's just it's a really amazing story, actually. I'm sure based on true happenings and what
have you. Well, the benefit of seeing these films is that you can see that these people are like us.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to think, you know, if we've got a good job or a steady job and we never claim benefits, if you believe maybe some things you read in the press, all these people that are on benefits are scroungers, really. You know, they could work, but they're just sponging off us. But when you make yourself aware of see films like this, you can see these people are like us. The reason that we can dislike other people is that we forget the connection and the similarities. When we're familiar with the similarities, we can see this person's like me. There's a connection there,
yep.
And then you can like develop loving kindness for them much more easily.
Yeah, I think that concept that all of us are only three or four steps away from being on the street ourselves in the right set of circumstances, we could all be there.
Yeah,
you know, and who's going to be
absolutely right?
Yeah, and who's going to be compassionate to us then?
Things look very different from there rather than here.
Yeah,
and that's what we need to have our eyes open to.
Yeah.
Yeah, the perspective. Yeah. So check out the movie.
Yes.
But yeah, Chris, thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
No, we'll give a shout out to the cushion.
Yeah, it's good.
Going forward, plenty as well. But yeah, really appreciate it. Take care. Hey?
Okay.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Sure.
See you.
Sure. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.